So I want to share with you a sermon titled, Something is Better Than Nothing. Something is better than nothing. And so if you want to turn in the scripture, we're going to get to Matthew chapter 25 here in just a minute. You can follow in your paper Bible. You can click on your digital Bible, whatever you want to do. Take notes on your phone. Take notes on a piece of paper. But I know this, that doing something in the kingdom of God is always better than doing nothing. And that is what he has called us to do, is to do something. I went through a season several years ago where I was going through some health issues. I was losing strength in my legs. I was having to walk around with a cane. I was just in a season of life several years there where it was growing incredibly frustrating and challenging for me. And because of all that was happening and losing that strength, I wasn't able to do the things I was doing before. I wasn't able to walk and run and exercise. And so by doing nothing, I was actually hurting myself even more because my muscles begin to atrophy. If you don't use them, you lose them. I mean, it's just the way God made this body. And because I was not able to use them and it was painful to use them, I just chose not to. I was losing them, therefore compounding my problem and making it even worse. And so a couple years in, my doctor said, look, you got to do something. At least go to physical therapy. And if you can't stand, I'll have you go to a pool. And I thought, this is great. Get to go do physical therapy in a pool. Until the first morning that I showed up, and I realized I am decades younger than anybody else that is here for physical therapy in this pool. And suddenly, I had about zero desire to get in this pool and do what I had to do. I mean, it was embarrassing. It was frustrating to me. It was painful anyway. Like, I had no motivation to want to do any of it, but I decided that I had to do something because if I kept doing nothing, things were only going to get worse. That we have this incredible class that we do, Financial Peace University. Dave Ramsey gets all the credit for it. But the reality is, if you want to ever improve your financial situation, you're going to have to do something. Because a lot of times we just think we can do nothing and somehow my bank account's going to fix itself. But it doesn't work that way. Like, somehow you got to start doing something. Quit using the credit card. Quit spending more than what you're making. Start putting some money into savings. Start paying off the debt. Maybe pick the smaller ones and then do the debt snowball and keep going. But somewhere along the way, to change the situation, you're going to have to do something. Because something is always better than nothing. And one of the things that I've been hearing as a pastor over the last few months, they've been so challenging in this virus season to know what to do, what not to do. But I hear a recurring theme here that concerns me. And it's that I hear people saying, I don't know what to do, so I'm not going to do anything until things get back to normal. Listen, your physical muscles atrophy when you do nothing. Your spiritual muscles atrophy when you do nothing. One of the worst things we could ever do in our relationship with Jesus is decide to do nothing until a better day comes and then I'm going to do something. Yeah. The best time to do something for Jesus is right now.
That's right.
And if you won't do it now, you sure aren't going to do it in a few months. Because even with all of this happening, the enemy hasn't stopped doing what he's doing because of the virus.
Amen.
In fact, I'd say he's probably working harder.
Yep.
And so in the kingdom of God, one of the things we cannot afford to do is sit around and do nothing until a better day comes. We've got to do something and trust that God is going to bless doing something and turn it into something more than we ever thought or imagined. But if we keep doing nothing, nothing is going to get better. If we keep doing nothing, your relationship with Jesus isn't going to get any stronger. If you keep doing nothing, you're not going to grow closer to him. And in fact, you're not going to stay where you are. You're going to grow further away. And so I want to talk today out of this moment in this parable that Jesus gives. But the heart of it to me is this: doing something grows things, doing nothing kills them. Every time. Look, I got plants that sit outside right now, and if I do nothing with them, they die. In this heat, you don't water them and you do nothing with them, they are dead. But you do something with them, you give them some water and do something to move them along, and they keep growing. And you and I are the same way in our relationship with Jesus. A surefire way to explode and blow up your relationship with Jesus is do nothing. A surefire way to grow it is say, I'm going to do something, and I'm going to figure out what that something is, and I'm going to keep doing it until something else happens. And that's what Jesus gets at in this parable of the talents in Matthew 25. A talent is nothing more than, it's just a unit of money or measurement. And so I picked a story that calls it a bag of gold instead of a talent so that we can understand what he's getting at here. But Matthew 25, starting in verse 14, says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. It's interesting that we don't all have the ability to manage the same things. So the next time you think you want what somebody else has got, that's a whole other story. I can't go down that road. Then he went on his journey, and the man who received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. And so also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more, but the one who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Somebody did something, and somebody did nothing. And after a long time, say a long time, if you're watching online, type in the text, long time, exclamation point, or dot, 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 dot. Like, his season feels like it's been a long time, doesn't it? The master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. And the man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. And his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. And the man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. And his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. With an exclamation point, like, great. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share of your master's happiness. And then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came and said, Master, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed, so I was afraid. Fear makes you do some bad decisions in your life, doesn't it? And I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. And his master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. Woo, like it turned fast, man. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed, with a question mark, like he's asking a question, not making a statement. This is going to be important in a minute. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags, for whoever has will be given more and they will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them, and throw that worthless servant outside into darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Man, two very different pictures here between two very different mindsets. And so there's 2 things I want to grab from this. I could grab a whole lot more, but for your time and mine, and so nobody turns angry on me here or hangry, 2 things, if you're taking notes, that I think are critical for us to get from this. If we are looking to be able to do something instead of nothing, doing something requires us being faithful. When a piece of scripture uses the same word that many times that close together, it's really important. Like when you're a parent trying to tell your kids to do something and you say the same thing 3 times, why? Because it's important and you're wanting to make sure they understand, because you know the first 2 times they weren't listening until the voice raises and you use the middle name and then you say it again and then you got their attention, right? That Jesus is like, I'm trying to get your attention here. Something is important here and it's the word faithfulness. Because he said, well done, my good and faithful servant, because you were faithful with a few things, you'll be given many things. Being faithful, if we're going to do something for Jesus, it's going to require some people that are faithful. Faithful to keep doing something even when it seems like the master's away, even when things are getting really hard, even when I'm not for sure the progress I'm making. It's people who keep doing faithful things that end up accomplishing something for God's kingdom. That there's something to be said for people who are faithful. That word faithful here, it is a person who shows themselves faithful in the transaction of business, the execution of commands, or the discharge of official duties. Because this, faithfulness opens the door of opportunities for those who are faithful. That's what he's getting at here. That word faithful means you're faithful to do what I asked you to do. And two people that were faithful and did what they were supposed to do opened the door to more opportunities for them. But then the one who was not faithful and did not do, it closed the door of opportunities. And I wonder how oftentimes we're sitting around waiting for God to open a door of opportunity, and God's saying, I'm waiting for you to be faithful in what I've already called you to do before I'm ever going to open up another door of opportunity for you. Faithfulness in continuing to do. We understand how this works. People that are faithful get more opportunity and trust, right? That I've worked for people, and I've had people that have worked along with me, and those that are faithful and follow through are the ones that continue to rise up the ranks. Those that aren't, don't. Why? Because you can't trust those people that aren't faithful. I've been in the concrete world. I've had people that showed up to work late, treated customers terrible, went home early, didn't do their job well. They don't stick around very long. But the ones that show up to work early, the ones that work hard, the ones that know how to treat people and do the job right and do the job till it gets done are the ones that keep going. I mean, as parents and having kids, we understand that the more things you do and prove yourself faithful, the more opportunities come from it. The more you do what mom and dad ask you to do and actually follow through with it, the more those opportunities increase. The less you do those things, the more those opportunities decrease. I had parents like growing up that I had a curfew, and the thing was, I could just about show up anytime I wanted to because they could never really remember when I woke them up, what time I got home. So they would ask me the next morning, like, I'm just being honest, I was a teenager who didn't make good decisions all the time, all right? They would ask me, what time did you get home? Oh, about midnight, about right on curfew time. Like, they didn't remember until one night, mom actually looked at the clock and realized it was long past midnight. And suddenly those opportunities became less and less. Why? Because I wasn't faithful on my end with what I told my parents I would be faithful to. Listen, it's all right, parents. It's okay to take some opportunities away from your kids if they're not making good decisions. Like, that's free parenting advice. I know I keep saying I'm not going to give parenting advice, but that's one piece I promise you I'll give to anybody, anytime. But that's what Jesus is saying here too. You want more opportunities? Be faithful with what I put in front of you. If you can't be faithful what's in front of you, he's not going to trust you with more. And so you and I have this moment to continue to press through and to be faithful to what he's called us to do, even when it's difficult. And at this season, I know this much, faithfulness is not idleness. See, Jesus didn't say, I know I'm going to be a long time, so just wait until I come back and then start doing something. Faithfulness is not idleness. Faithfulness is using the time and the investment that he's put in us right now, knowing one day he is going to come back and we're going to have a gift to offer back to him because I've been faithful with what he's given to me right now. It's not sitting around doing nothing, because one man buried it and did nothing with it. It didn't turn out very well for him. And so there's this call for us to press on and to do what we know is the right thing to do and to open up the Word of God for you and I. You want to know what Jesus has asked you to do? Grab a Bible and start reading it. And then do it. Like we act like it's more difficult than what it is. But you can find just about any version of the Bible you want to understand and read, and it's right there in front of you. And if you don't, I promise you, you can find enough people around here that would love to help you come to understand what it is and see how to live it out. But you got to do something instead of doing nothing. You can't do nothing and then be faithful. Like at some point, you're going to have to step up into the mix and start doing something along the way. And that's the heart of what Jesus began to share with us and begin to show us. Like what I love about Jesus is he set the example for us of what it means to be faithful. Because Jesus left all of heaven and the comfort of heaven and all that came with it, and he came to earth. Like that in of itself was crazy enough. But then when he came to earth, he didn't live the best life that he could while he was on earth in the most luxurious of places. In fact, he was born in a barn, a stable. He walked and lived among the poor. He touched the people that nobody else wanted to touch. He spent time with the people that nobody else wanted to spend time with. He had some of the kindest words for the people that nobody wanted anything to do with, and he had some of the harshest words for the most religious people who were doing nothing with what God had given them. And then Jesus said, "You come follow me. Do what I did. Live your life the way I lived my life." That's what it means to do something for Jesus. He didn't save you so that you could sit around and do nothing and kind of take heaven like Willy Wonka and his golden ticket, like somehow one day you're just going to get to magically punch the ticket and go. He didn't invest that salvation into you so that you could bury it and do nothing with it. Come on. He didn't save you so that you could bury it and do nothing with it. He saved you because he believes in you so much and he loves you so much that he put his hope inside of you so that you could go out and share it with other people. Like, think about that. God's greatest plan to reach other people is you and me. That's how much he loves us. That's how much he believes in us. And he's put that treasure inside of us to go out and invest it in other people so that when he does come back, we can say, "Lord, it wasn't just about me and holding on to what I got, but I took what you did in me and I reached other people with that same hope. And look who gets to come with me now because of what you invested in me." That's what it means to be faithful. And if there's ever a season in this world where people need Jesus, it's now. If there's ever a moment in history where there have been more people that need the hope of Jesus Christ that you and I have in our life, you couldn't ask for a better moment to live in. It may not be easy. It may not be popular. But there could not be a better moment for you and I to be faithful and reach a world with the hope that he's invested in us. And the amazing thing to me, though, too, is what was important to Jesus? Being faithful is what that parable is getting at. It wasn't a number. It wasn't a dollar amount of the investment that he got back. What he rewarded was not a numerical number. What he rewarded was a servant who was faithful to use what they had been given. God's not going to sit up there and say, "Oh man, you only reached 9 people. Why couldn't you get 10? What's wrong with you?" Like, he's going to say, "Man, thank you for being faithful to reach the ones that you could. The results are up to God. It's just up to you and I to go do something with what he's given us so that he can do something with it." Yes. And he'll reward our faithfulness. The other piece to this, and I think we need to get, I've missed it in this text, to be honest with you. I've read this text a lot of times. I've heard this text preached a lot of times into church, but I think the other piece we've got to get in doing something is this. We got to know the master. One of the things that's really important here is knowing the master. Because you had 3 different people who were influenced by their understanding of the master, and their actions were a result of what they understood of the master. 2 people understood the heart of the master and what he was really after. They knew him Because when he came back, he said what? Well done, my good and faithful servant. Like, you nailed it. You knew what I wanted. You would take the time to understand who I was and the heart of what I was after, and you nailed it. Another one of you thought you knew me, but you only had an understanding of what you thought about me. You didn't really know me, but that still drove the results and action in his life. I'm telling you, this is so critically important for us to get in this day and age. There's a world that thinks they know God. But the only part of God they know are a couple of scriptures from the Old Testament that they don't like because God was kind of angry and killed some people. And a couple of scriptures from the New Testament that doesn't agree with the lifestyle they live. And then a few bad Christians that haven't lived out a great example. And they've decided they know God now and want nothing to do with him. There's a difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus. And for some people to know him, it's going to be up to you and I to get really intimate and know him so that the actions of our life are shaped by our understanding of who he is so that people can see Jesus for who he really is and not some messed up idea of who they think he is. Because the only Bible some people are ever going to read, you hear this said in church all the time, the only Jesus people are ever going to see or know is the one you live out for them to see. And so knowing the master and who he really is an important part of what it means to be faithful and what he's called us to do. It's important for us to get this piece of it. Because we can think we know Jesus all we want to. But until we know about Jesus and that moves us to do something for Jesus, we don't really know Jesus. I'll say that again because like that was a great amen spot and everybody was really quiet. Until what we know about Jesus moves us to do something for Jesus, we have missed the heart of what it means to know Jesus. You can know all about him up here all you want to, but if it doesn't come out in the action of your life, you know about him, but you don't know him. Because everything Jesus did was action. Everything Jesus did was action and interacting with people so that they could experience the Father through him. So that somebody could know who the Father was by the life that he lived, by the things that he did. Because he had to do something in order for people to know something about the Father. And it's going to be up to you and I to do something so that somebody can know something about Jesus. But we have to know the heart of the Father to get this thing right. And he said in the text, if you go back and look, like this is the part that's so amazing to me. If you read the text in verse 24, when you asked the one servant, the third servant, the foolish one, he said, I knew that you were a hard man. That doesn't mean that that's who God was. That's just what he knew about the master. Doesn't mean that he had the right perception. It just means that he had that understanding because even the master replied, so you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed, like a question mark. Like he didn't say that's who I was, but Jesus said, if that's what you knew about me, then you still should have done something with what I gave you instead of burying it and doing nothing. And so how could Jesus say to one servant, you know, to cast him out into the darkness and he's a wicked and lazy servant? Well, I would say because that servant never really knew the master to begin with. He knew about him, but it never changed who he was. It never changed the actions of his life. He did nothing with the knowledge that he had about the master. But two of them did something with the knowledge that they had about the master. And he said, well done, my good and faithful servants. I'm telling you, it's so important that you and I know Jesus. And do all that we can to get intimate with him. Because I'm convinced the more that we seek to know Jesus, the more that he will influence the actions of our life. I'm telling you, you can't seek Jesus and seek to know him more and not end up with Jesus coming out of your life and the things that you do and the things that you say and who you become. Because he gives us those scriptures. I could go over and over again. I am the vine and you are the branch. It's this idea of being connected to him produces fruit because of who you're connected to. You seek Jesus, you will find Jesus because he wants to be found. And when you find Jesus, he's going to come out of your life so the world can find Jesus through you. But you got to know the master. And you got to know him well so that you can represent him well to a world that needs to see and know him. You got to do something instead of nothing. And that's the heart of that is found in knowing who Jesus is. And knowing him well. And in this day and age, it's so hard because there's so many things out there. But I'm telling you, if you do not get grounded in the Word of God, you can never know Jesus well. If you don't surround yourself with other people that love Jesus and want to know him well, you're going to struggle to know Jesus and know him well. We're called to reach a world, but at the same time, we've got to position ourselves around some people that are trying to chase after Jesus and know him too, so that we can chase after Jesus and represent him to a world that needs to see him and know him. We got to be faithful, but we got to do something. We've got to go out and know the master well and know what he's called us to do. I think it's interesting to me too, and I think this is an important piece we can't skip in the context of this scripture, because to know Jesus means to do something. Because the one who did nothing with it, some pretty harsh words were dropped out there. And if it was one instance, it would be one thing. But if you look in the context of where this falls in scripture, the very next story, right after this one, if you want to go back, I'll give you that from Matthew 25 for homework later on this week. You go read now, or later, not now, later. Save it for later. He talks about the sheep and the goats right after this story. So there's a context in the story about the sheep and the goats. The sheep were the righteous ones that did what Jesus wanted, because it says the sheep, when they were having this conversation with Jesus, he said that you fed the hungry, you invited in strangers, you clothed people, you cared for the sick, and you care for the imprisoned. And they were like, when did we ever do that for you, Jesus? And he said, whenever you did it for one of these, you did it for me. But then the very next group of people were the ones that said, Jesus said, you saw me hungry and you didn't feed me. You saw me naked and you didn't clothe me. You knew that I was sick and you did nothing for me. You knew that I was prison and you didn't care about me. And they said, when, Jesus? And he said, when you did nothing for these people, when you should have done something for them, you would have been doing it unto me. Therefore, you did not know me. I'm telling you, it's a scary place to be to know about Jesus and not know him. I think one of the scariest texts in scripture are the people that said, we did all of these things in your name, Jesus. And Jesus said, I never knew you. Because you can know a lot about Jesus and still miss it if you don't know him. And to know him means you and I have lost the right to sit around and do nothing. Yeah. To know Jesus, like we're all about our rights, all right? I mean, I understand that much, but one of the things we have to understand is when we come to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we have given up the right to do nothing in God's kingdom. Amen. You have laid that down. That's been nailed to the cross. And the expectation of Jesus now is that you and I go do something, because there's a world that desperately needs what you and I have inside of us. And the only way they're going to see it is not for us to talk about it, but to go out and do something with it. I just know this. I know we can be in love with an idea of Jesus and not actually be in love with Jesus. Like I'm gonna meddle just a little bit. If the fact that worshiping Jesus has to do something, whether you wear a mask or not wear a mask, then you might not be fully worshiping Jesus. Because Paul found a way imprisoned, and I'm telling you, when they were in prison, like, it wasn't prison like we got. Like, it was the sewers where all of human waste ran, and he was chained down in it. And he worshiped Jesus in chains, standing in human sewage before God set him free. So if the idea of whether or not you or I have to wear a mask depends on whether or not we're going to worship Jesus, then we've got a wrong picture of who Jesus is. Somewhere along the way, we've got to make sure that we are actually in love with Jesus and the Jesus of Scripture, and we're not in love with this idea of Jesus that we want to fit our life and our lifestyle, because there's a big difference. And the Jesus I read about in those Gospels, and the people that came after him that spent time with him, man, they lived radical lives. They gave up everything to follow him, literally everything. They were thrown in prison. They were beaten. They were left for dead. Some were killed. And they gladly walked through all of that because they understand to do something for him because of what he had done for them was a small price to pay in eternity and what he was going to do through them. But we can't do that when we're in love with an idea of who we want Jesus to be. We got to be in love with Jesus and who he is. And that's why we do everything that we do here at the church. Like, I promise, I'm about to land this plane. But this is why we do what we do here at Lone Star, because we want to help you grow in knowing who Jesus is, and we want to help you be faithful in living that out to a world that needs to desperately see him. That's why we just did what we did to partner with David Grant to go into all of these women who may be stuck in sex trafficking and sex slavery in India and rescue as many we can and give them the hope of Jesus and a better hope in this life, because we've not just been called to talk about Jesus, we've been called to do something about it. And for some of us, we can do it with our checkbook, because we got programs like Lone Star Beef that can partner up with these ministries that can't afford to buy beef the way they are because it's so expensive, and we can give them the protein they need so that they can take that money and invest it in other places and keep doing what they're called to do to reach people and change their life. Because we've got things like Back in Gear that we have an opportunity to go to Sandstone's Chiropractic or open up the PushPay app right now and give to Back in Gear so that kids right here in this community can know the love and hope of Jesus Christ and know that somebody in this community cares for them and bought them the clothes and school supplies they need this coming school year. That's why we do things like online church for those of you that are sitting at home right now watching this, because somebody loves and cares about you and they tithe faithfully here every week so that we can send this message out to wherever you're at so that you can hear about this message of hope. That's why we're shooting a virtual VBS that's going to be coming out in a few weeks in July so that your kids, even though we can't get together again right now, we can still give them the hope and love of Jesus Christ, and we're going to do it virtually. Because listen, when Jesus is up to something and his people do something, there's nothing hell can do to stop what he's up to. The only way hell wins is when the Christians do nothing. But the moment you and I are willing to do something, even if we're not sure that we get it right, but if our heart is to simply do it to honor Jesus and do something for him, I'm telling you, there's not a power in hell that can stop the church and what God wants to do. But we can't do it sitting around on our hands doing nothing. We can't do it sitting around holding a golden ticket, waiting to punch our ticket out of here and not worry about the rest of the people around us. So we got to be faithful to do something instead of nothing. And part of that faithfulness comes by knowing the Master and letting that change the way that we live as we go do something for him in his kingdom. And that responsibility is yours. I can only do so much from the stage to nudge you in that direction. But at some point, you got to decide, am I going to do something or am I going to do nothing? Am I going to settle with what I know about Jesus, or am I going to keep pressing in to know Jesus? Because I can promise you this much. I have grown up in church for most of my life. And 40 years in, the more I learn about Jesus, the more I realize I still got a lot to learn about Jesus. And so if you think you've got this Jesus thing figured out, I'd say you and I aren't serving the same Jesus. Because I don't yet. I got a few things figured out that build an unshakable hope, but I realize there's a lot more in me that needs to change so that I can become a lot more like him and do something for him in this world. And he gives you and I that same opportunity to do something for him. Man, I don't have this gear inside of me to not do something. And so I understand, I probably come from a place I just know one day you and I are going to stand before God. Yes. That master showed back up. It may have been a long time. They may have not known when. But he came back. He's coming back. He's not forgot about us. And I know it may feel dark for some of you right now. And it may feel hard for some of you right now. And you may be settled into a place of not wanting to do anything because of the situation that you find yourself in. Man, get that hope back that Jesus is coming again. Do something to move yourself towards that hope. Do something to be prepared for that day when you and I stand before him. Because more than anything, that's all I want to hear Jesus say. Good job, Jason. You did it. You were faithful with what I gave you. I think there's going to be moments like, God, I don't feel like I did enough. And I think he's going to say, you remember that time you gave? This was the life that was changed, that was here. You remember that moment you came and served? This is the impact that it had, and these were the lives that were touched. And because those lives were touched, these lives were touched. And we're going to see an eternal chain reaction that you and I never knew about. Because you want to know how I know? Because we're sitting here because of an eternal chain reaction. Yeah. That happened 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on a cross and he rose again. And 12 people went out and did something about this Jesus that they had been following. And we're a spiritual chain reaction of somebody that was faithful. Somebody that knew the master and went out and did something with it. And if he did it for them and we're 2,000 years down the road, he's going to do it again for you. He has a story for you. He has a plan for you. He has intricately knit you together and made you for this very moment just the way that you are. And you may not like the way that you are, and you may not like the situation that you're in, but I'm here to tell you, God can take all of those details and do something through you if you'll just do something instead of nothing. I gotta stop. I could keep going. I'm going to tell you the best thing that you could do right now if you've never done it is give your life to Jesus. And you're like, man, I've never done anything right for Jesus. In fact, if you know my track record, you may say, man, Jesus probably doesn't want anything to do with me. Great news is Jesus didn't die for you in the perfect version. He died for the broken, messed up version of you just the way you are. He's not in love with you once you get stuff right. He's in love with the jacked up version of you right now that's broken and hurting. And if you'll come to him, he can put all those pieces back together and do something with your life. But if you want to do something with your life, you got to do something, and that starts by giving it to Jesus. Every head bow, every eye closed, nobody looking around. Maybe those of you that are online, maybe there's somebody here, I just believe it, that maybe you have never given your life to Jesus before. Or maybe you made a commitment to him a long time ago, but you did nothing with it. Well, guess what? This morning it's time to do something. I want to invite you to give your life to Jesus. And so if that's you and you're in this place and you have never given your life to Jesus, or maybe you did a long time ago and you want to make a new commitment to him, will you slip your hand up so that we can put a Bible in it and pray with you? I see your hand back there. Keep it up. They're going to drop a Bible in your hand. I see your hand. If you're watching online right now and that's you and you want to make that commitment, there's going to be a link down in the comment section right below. And if you want to give your life to Jesus, I want to encourage you to pray this prayer with me that we're going to pray here in just a minute. And then click that link and let us know, because we'd love to send you out a Bible too and celebrate this with you today. Anybody else? I don't want to miss anybody this morning. If you raised your hand, would you mind to look up at me? Would you mind to come up here and let me pray with you this morning? Would you do that? Yeah, that's awesome. I am so proud of you, buddy. What's your name?
Hunter.
Hunter? I think you're in the right church. Do you like to go hunting? Yes, even better. Awesome, man. Listen, I want to pray with you, okay? I don't think there's anything magical about this, but I believe if you believe it in your heart and we confess it with our mouth, the Bible teaches us that Jesus is going to save us. So I want to pray that with you, Hunter. Can we do that?
Yes, sir.
All right. Can you all join with me this morning, and can we all pray together? You ready, Hunter? Let's pray, okay? Pray after me, all right? Say, Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
I need you. To come into my life.
To come into my life.
To save me of my sins. And to make me brand new. I give my life to you, Jesus. Help me to love you. And help me to live for you. All my days on earth. Amen. Hunter, I'm so happy for you. This is the best decision you've ever made. How old are you?
Seven.
Okay. This is the best decision you have ever made in your 7 years of life, buddy. And we are so, so proud of you. All right. Can I hug you? Can I do that? Oh, you're so sweet. I'm so proud of you. Hey, if you would, we want to take just a moment. Maybe I'll connect you. You know, she's Pastor Amber right there, the black mask waving at you. See her? She's part of our kids ministry. When we get back together again, I want to make a connection with you. Can we do that? All right. Can you go over there and just connect with her real quick? And mom and dad, he's right here. Not going anywhere, right there. All right. Thumbs up. We're good. All right. Let's stand up, everybody. Celebrate. Woo! Man, maybe some of you in here today, you would say, man, I've just kind of fallen into the trap of doing nothing. Not for sure what to do, not for sure what next steps I should take or what that thing is. And so I'm just kind of doing nothing, but today I want to make a commitment with God that I'm going to do something. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up all across this place? Can we just keep those up and keep them up as a prayer and commitment here at the end of the service that we're going to be people who do something, amen? Do something to know the Master and show a world that needs him. Father, I thank you for every hand here online. I thank you for those people that are watching online, that they would throw their hands up too, Lord. And that as a commitment to you today, God, we're going to be a people who do something. That we're not going to sit around and do nothing. We're not going to bury what you've put inside of us. We're not going to hide what you've put inside of us. But we're going to give it all to you to do something with. And I pray through the power of your Holy Spirit, you would stir up in each side, inside of each one of us, something that we can do for you, God. I don't know what that may be. I think it's going to look different for a lot of us. Maybe some of us need to give something. Maybe some of us need to do something. We need to invest some time somewhere. We need to make a phone call with somebody. We need to go across the street to a neighbor or talk to a coworker. But God, I pray you would stir up inside of us to do something for you, to share the hope and love of you that lives inside of us with a world that desperately needs it, that you would cause us to become unsatisfied with sitting around doing nothing, that you would stir up inside of us a hunger to know you more, to get into your word and to get serious about drawing closer to you so that we can go out and do something for you and your kingdom in the days and times that we live in, Jesus. Jesus, we love you. We ask all of this in your mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Listen, if you need prayer this morning, we got a prayer team that'll be down here that would love to pray with you. I invite you to come down and do that. Otherwise, we love you guys, and we'll see you back here next week.